Morning. Let's go back to the same place we started yesterday and go over Sangamar we did yesterday with some additional points, one of which you'll like better. I'm Rav Yehuda Marav. Yes. I'm Rav Yehuda Marav. Kol hamoneh halacha mipi talmid ki'ilu gozlo min achat avotav. Somebody withholds a halacha from a Talmud, it's as if he is stealing his father's inheritance. Shenemar, Teratzi v'lanu Moshe, Marasha kilat Yaakov. As it says, Moshe commanded us the Torah, an inheritance to the congregation of Yaakov. Marasha hi l'chol Yisrael m'sheshem v'rishit. It is inheritance to all of Yisrael from the 6 days of creation. The first question we had was, why is this here? It seems like a diversion. How is it related to the previous Gemara? So I suggested that since we're going to end up saying that someone who teaches Torah in this world will merit to teach Torah in Olam Haba, so it mentions Olam Haba, so it relates to what we've been talking about. The Nodeb Yehuda in Yerudea, Yer Nodeb Yehuda, Madura Tinyana, Part 2, Yerudea Simon Kuf Tzadi, takes it a little further, and he says that this is a, we have been talking about bringing proofs to the existence of Tchias HaMesim. Here the Gemara says that if you teach Torah in Olam Hazeh, you will merit to teach Torah in Olam Haba, according to most Rishonim, except the Rambam. Olam Haba is Tchias HaMesim. Tchias HaMesim is Olam Haba. They're the same thing. So this is a proof to belief in Tchias HaMesim. It's not a proof. It's not an absolute proof from the Torah, but we do bring a pasuk that if you teach Torah in Olam Hazeh, you'll merit to teach Torah in Olam Haba. So, and we interpret that pasuk, Umarveh gam hu yoreh, one who satiates others will teach. So that is also a hint to Tchias HaMesim. Mm-hmm. To the extent that pasuk is a hint to teaching Torah in Olam Haba, it is a hint to Tchias HaMesim, because if there weren't Tchias HaMesim, how are you going to teach, or who are you going to teach? So that is the Nodeb Yehuda, the connection between this Gemara and everything we've been talking about. Okay. We also asked yesterday why it says halacha, someone who withholds a halacha from a student. So there's a sefer called Chasdei Hashem. Comes in the mail every time Daf Yomi starts a new Masechet. Rabbi Mordechai Aaron Krieger, Alam Chaber Sifrei Chasdei Hashem Chaf Hei Chalakim, written 25 volumes. You see a stack of them on top of the bookcase over there, because they come in the mail every time a new Masechet starts. So he asks this question, and he suggests an answer. I think his answer is a bit of a chiddush, but it's always nice to see someone asking the same question you're asking, even if you don't necessarily like his answer. He says, what's so terrible if you don't teach someone? Someone wants to learn and you don't teach him. He'll go to someone else. Someone else will teach him. So he says that the focus is on halacha, meaning not necessarily law, but could be law, but it's something he needs to know right now, in order that he can go on. He comes to you with a practical shaila, either in halacha or in, could be in hashkafa, could be in midos, but it's something he needs to know now. And if you refuse to teach him that, you've created a great loss, because he can't necessarily find someone else to ask right now. So that is his suggestion of why it says halacha. Another possibility Sefer Afikeyam of Yitzchak Isaac Chaver. Yitzchak Isaac Chaver was a student of the students of the Vilna Gaon, and was both a posek, and what is best known as the greatest Lithuanian mokobol of the mid-1800s. So he suggests that, and he refers to the pasuk that the Gemara brings. It's really in the next. Let's read a little more in the Gemara. Get to the pasuk that he's bases his commentary on. So Amar of Chana Bar Bizna Amar of Shimon Chasida Kol Amunei Halacha Mipi Talmid Afilu Barinch Mei Imo Kalinata. If someone withholds Torah from a Talmid, even the fetuses in their mother's wombs curse him. Now, incidentally, literally it says, Shemei imo, in his mother's womb. So the Rashash says it's a mistake, and it should say iman, fetuses in their mother's wombs. But I did see someone who says that it means in his mother's womb, meaning even his brothers will curse him. Shenemar monea bar ikvugula om. As it says, one who withholds bar, which literally means grain or sustenance, but the Gemara says means Torah. So he will be cursed by Laom, which Gemara says means fetuses. Brings proof from Ulom mil om ye'ematz that was said to Rivka. So Rav Yitzchak Isaac Chaver says that why is bar a reference to Torah? Because the root means clear, to clarify. So, and what needs to be clarified more than anything else? It's halacha. When you're dealing with something that's not halacha, like an Ein Yaakov shiur, and you leave things a little vague or a little abstract, not the end of the world, because that's the nature of that kind of learning. But halacha needs to be clarified to a conclusion, just like a fetus that's developing in its mother's womb needs to be fixed up to its conclusion. You want the pregnancy to develop on track to its natural end. You want the baby to be whole, complete, everything in its proper place. That's how halacha is, and therefore, it's specifically over halacha that the fetuses get upset. If the Rebbe doesn't teach the Talmud and clarify the halacha properly,
because the fetus is a word, they're not going to develop fully.
It's mida keneged mida that if a person doesn't give the proper attention to developing everything properly, not that their fetuses are worried, Hashem causes those who have a very good understanding of the importance of developing properly to a conclusion to take umbrage. And as we said yesterday, it doesn't mean that if you put the sonogram thing up to the womb, you're going to hear the fetus curse. The fetus is cursing. It means he's worthy of being cursed by even by fetuses. He also says that he ties it into the Gemara that we mentioned yesterday about fetuses learning Torah in the womb. And we know that fetuses learn Torah in the womb and then they forget. And the Rebbe's job is to, and he explains, we mentioned once before, that it's not that they're learning the whole Torah. They are learning, fetuses in womb are learning the Torah that they are destined to learn in their lifetime. When they then go to cheder, go to yeshiva, it's the Rebbe's job to reawaken that Torah that they already knew. So a Rebbe who refuses to teach, he's withholding from them, he's withholding from his students the Torah that they had, that they learned as fetuses, okay, that causes other fetuses who are going to be in this Rebbe's class in the future to be upset. Okay, why am I working so hard right now to learn this Torah that I'm supposed to have reawakened when I go to yeshiva X number of years from now, and it's not going to happen because that Rebbe is not doing his job. So we're mad. So that is that is how he explains the connection of the fetuses. One more thing about that. The Sefer Ein Eliyahu. And he says, he brings a medrash that when Hashem wanted to give the Torah, Hashem asked for Jewish people to give guarantors that the Torah would be kept. And the medrash says that after there was a negotiation over who would be the guarantor, and eventually Jewish people offered their children as guarantors, and Hashem accepted that. The language of the Medrash is they brought nursing babies and the pregnant women, and they said these babies will be the guarantors. So now, if the Torah is not being transmitted the way we promised to, so who gets upset when a debt's not paid? The guarantor gets upset. So therefore, the babies are upset. The fetuses are upset, and it's a parallelism, because the process of developing a lesson and teaching it parallels the process of a fetus developing and being born. And so if the first process is not complete, so those who involved in the parallel process get upset and curse him. So that is the Sefer Ein Eliyahu. Okay, then the Gemara said, as we mentioned, someone who teaches Torah in this world will merit to teach it in the world to come. And then Rabbi Lazar said, Kol ha-parnas shemanhig et ha-tzibur benachat zoche u-menahagam lo-olam haba. Someone who leads the tzibur gently will merit to lead them in olam haba, shenemar ki merachamam yina hagim val mabu'ei mayim yina haleim. It says, those who are merciful in this world will lead them on the sources of water. He will lead them. He will direct them. So first of all, where do you see a reference here to Olam Haba? So the Mefarshim explain that Mabu'ei Mayim, the sources of water, water is Torah. Today, Torah is, in Olam Hazeh, Torah is, so to speak, far from its source. It's unclear. It's incomplete. In Olam Haba, when everything will, all the lights will be revealed, the sources will, so to speak, be closer to the source of Torah. And so that's a reference to Olam Haba. Maral, Sefer Nesivos Olam, Nativ Hakas, in his section on anger, he brings this Gemara, and he talks and he explains what the mida keneged mida of a leader who leads people gently will merit to lead them in Olam Haba. He says that Olam Hazeh is not a place of tranquility. Olam Haba is a place of tranquility. We refer to Olam Haba as Yom Shikulo Shabbat Unucha, the Chaye Olam Haba, that Olam Haba is a place which is all Shabbos. It's all restful and tranquil. So if a leader is able to lead in Olam Hazeh with calm and tranquility, He is bringing Me'ein Olam Hava into Olam Hazeh for the people that he's leading. It's already a little bit of Olam Hava. And therefore, he will merit to lead them in Olam Hava. While we're on this chapter, this is at the end of the first chapter of Nativ Hakas, where the Maral discusses what's wrong with anger in the first place. He says that any kind of anger is a form of emotion, and emotions are a departure from the intellect. And this will tie into the next Gemara that we're going to read, that we'll probably read today, but not discuss in depth until next week. But emotion and getting worked up is the absence of intellect. See, the opposite of intellect. Halacha is pure intellect. And therefore, he explains, that's why Gemara says, why is halacha like Beis Hillel and not like Beis Shammai? Because people Beis Shammai were kapdanim, lack of a better word. They had angry dispositions. Not that that's bad, not that that's wrong. They were chachamim and they were tzaddikim, but specifically when it comes to halacha, when it comes to debate in yeshiva, debating the meaning of a sugya, pilpul, that could be a very good thing. And they were great tamei chachamim, but specifically when it comes to halacha.
Yeah, as long as they did that without anger.
Sorry?
As long as they didn't.
Well, anger, not anger in a negative sense, but emotion, getting worked up. Getting worked up. But when it comes to
controlled anger. It's like anger, if you use it for the proper purpose, is
the yes, that's true. Right? Take the story of the ger who came to Shammai and came to Hillel. Right? Shammai got angry at him. Hillel was calm with him. There are places Shammai, Maral himself emphasizes. He refers to it as being kat haminatzchim, people who have in their nature that they need to win. When you're having a debate in yeshiva, that's good that you need to win. Rav Shalom Shvadron, I don't remember exactly the story, but he was visiting some yeshiva. And he overheard two students. They were, you know, deep in the Melchamta Shel Torah, in the battle of Torah. And suddenly, one of them shrugs and says, "Yeah, I guess you're right." And Rav Shalom Shvadron was very upset. Like, you don't give up like that when you gotta have to defend your position until death. And so that's when you're learning in, you know, so to speak, academically. But when it comes to halacha, you have to be cool, calm, and collected. And that was Beis Hillel, not Beis Shammai. And so that's how he starts out the same chapter that then ends with saying that a leader who leads leads calmly is Me'ein Olam Haba, and therefore he will merit to lead in Olam Haba. So he started out with that other discussion about Hillel and Shammai, and we'll tie in a little bit to the next Gemara that we're going to do. The last point on Gemara that we did yesterday. This is from a sefer called Divrei Chaim Al HaTorah, by Rav Chaim Shorin, a Talmud of the original Volozhin Yeshiva, Talmud of Rav Chaim Volozhin, and most relevant to you, the grandfather of Rav Zalman Saratskin, the author of Oznaim Torah. It's his favorite sperm. So I said one of your favorite sperm. So this is his grandfather, Talmud of Rav Chaim Volozhin. And in in his introduction to Sefer Vayikra, he has a long discussion about the layout of the Mishkan, or the Beis Hamikdash, and ties it to various concepts, and Emunah and Musar, and so on. And I'm not going to go through it at length now. But he says that between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, between the Mizbeach and the structure, the indoor part of the Beis Hamikdash, so halacha is that somebody who has not had a proper haircut is not allowed to go there. And why is that? So he says that a person who serves in the Beis Hamikdash or otherwise represents the Jewish people has to be humble, has to be able to subdue himself to Hashem and to be able to lead, subdue himself to the people he's leading. And we know that was a midah of Aaron. Aaron was Ohev Shalom, Rodev Shalom. He was always very easygoing with people. So it's a place where the Kohanim go. And that's also appropriate midah for a leader. He brings our Gemara. Because when a leader is compassionate and merciful, he will lead people gently, and they will follow his leadership. People like to listen to someone who is not shouting, someone who's persuading in a gentle manner. And that location in the Beis Hamikdash is represented by the non-public side of the Mizbeach, where the leaders, the representatives of the Jewish people go. And the reason why you're not allowed to go there with long hair is because hair, we mentioned this one time in Daf Yomi, I don't remember the exact reason, but hair in Kabbalah represents Midas Adin. And a lot of hair represents a lot of Midas Adin. Kohanim had short haircuts, and representing that they had to act in this gentle, not with Gvura, not with Din. Why does hair represent Gvura and Din? I have no idea. Can't explain that, but just accept that it does. That's what Sfarim say. And so the gentle leadership that the Kohanim are supposed to have and to practice is the opposite of long hair. And therefore there's no place. That is definitely true. I know a Kohen personally, and Kohanim do have hot tempers, and they can work on it. The Kohen that I know who has a very bad temper has, thank God, worked very hard on it and doesn't have as bad a temper as he used to have. It fits perfectly. And that's why the Kohanim have to get haircuts before they go to work. It represents this exactly.
They have to work on that.
Of course. That shows you exactly, right? They told us this in elementary school. I'm sure you remember. If you want to know what you're here to work on, thing you find hardest. People say, that's the way I am. No, that's exactly what you're supposed to work on. So if I was born with a very bad temper, that means that's exactly what I'm supposed to work on. So I think it, to me, it fits perfectly.
Okay. It's not one of those $400 haircuts.
I would assume not. No. Okay. Back in the Ein Yaakov. We are on page Nun Aleph, letter Lamed Dalet. Vamar Rabbi Elazar. Gdolah de'ah shenitna ben shnei otiyot. De'ah is very great. It was given between two names of Hashem. What is De'ah? That is something we will discuss at length on Tuesday. Okay. Right now we're going to read a lot of Gemaras about De'ah. Okay. I'm Rabbi Elazar, and Rabbi Elazar says, Dola De'ah shina ben shnei otiyot shenemar ki kel de'ot Hashem. You see that De'ah is between two names of Hashem, Kel and Hashem. From Rabbi Lazar, Gadol Mikdash, Shinitan ben Shtei Otiyot. The Mikdash is very great. So it's given between two names of Hashem. Shinemar, Pa'alta Hashem, Pa'alta Hashem, Mikdash, Hashem, Kornu Yadecha. You have wrought Hashem. The Mikdash, Hashem, your hands have built. So you see, the Mikdash is between two names of Hashem. If you put together these two statements of Rabbi Lazar, you see there's some connection between De'ah and Mikdash. We'll develop that next week as well. Matkifla Rav Ada Karchina Elame'ata. If that's the case, so Rav Ada Karchina challenged Rav Ada from Carthage. Elame'ata Gdola Nekama Shenitna Ben Shtei Otiyot. Then revenge is very great. It's because it's given between two names of Hashem. Dichtiv, kel nekamot Hashem, kel nekamot Tofiah. Hashem is a kel of vengeance. So it must be that it's very great. Amrele, lemilte hachinami. So Rabbi Elazar answered him, indeed, the kama is very great. Damar ula, shtei hofayot halal ulama. What are these two appearances of Hashem? It says, kel nekamot Hashem, kel nekamot hofia. Okay. And so it mentions appearance in connection with nekama, and it mentions nekama twice. Achat lemida tova, achat lemida puranut. One is for the benefit of one is for good and one is for bad. Rashi says one is for the benefit of the Jewish people and one is to take vengeance on, Rashi says, the Aramim, undoubtedly censored, probably were originally supposed to say Romim, okay? but he's on the Goyim. So these two forms of vengeance. Vam Rabbi Lazar. Now let's focus on that for a second. So Rav Adar Karchina, Rav Adar from Carthage asked, so first of all, you see there were Jews in Carthage in North Africa in the time of the Gemara. wasn't only in Babel and Eretz Yisrael. But he said, well, according to the way you're darshaning, then Nekama, vengeance is very great. And Ula answers, yes, there's vengeance for good and vengeance for bad. The Sfarim talk about, and the name of Hashem that's mentioned here is named Kel. Now, Kel, since Sfarim to talk about these things, is associated with Midas Chesed, the name of Chesed. And yet it's short for Elohim, which is Midas Adin. And here it talks about Nekama, about vengeance, which you'd think is associated with Midas Adin. The Gemara tells you that there is a Nekama which is good. Rashi says that the goodness is that Hashem did not reveal his Shekhinah to the Goyim. Okay. and it's called Nekama because it's a payment, Midah Keneged Midah, since we accepted the Torah. The Goyim didn't accept the Torah, so Midah Keneged Midah, Hashem reveals himself to us and not to the Goyim. But Sifrei Chassidus say, name of Al Shem Tov, that, and I don't remember if this mashal is in an, is itself in the name of the Baal Shem Tov or just used by later Svarim to explain what the Baal Shem Tov is saying. But a mashal of a villager who cursed the king. And the king hears about it. The king's first reaction is, off with your head. Curse the king. And then he says to himself, what is a simple villager? If I just execute him, it's going to be meaningless. A simple villager doesn't know what a king is. He has no appreciation of what he did wrong. So instead of killing him, he exiles the villager to the big, to the capital city. And after the villager lives in the capital city for a year and gets a little couth, a little understanding of what the capital city is, he then orders the villager to move into the royal compound, so onto the palace grounds. And after he spends a year there and gains a greater appreciation, he then orders him to move from the palace compound into the palace itself, and so on, and keeps elevating him until he eventually one day is in the king's inner circle. And now this villager understands what he did wrong, and he's deeply ashamed that he curses the king. So instead of just executing him by chopping off his head, he, so to speak, killed him with kindness. He made the villager realize, by being kind to the villager and by educating the villager, by raising him up, he made him realize how great his sin was. And that is the midah of kel. It's one of the yud gimel midos of rachamim. Hashem, Hashem, kel, rachum, v'chanun. But here the Gemara associates it with nekama, with revenge, with vengeance. Because there is a type of vengeance that comes from being kind and making the person appreciate the greatness of his sin through the kindness that you did to him. So that is why kel, which is associated with nekama, is one of the yud gimel midos harachamim. Okay, continuing in the Gemara, letter Lamed Vav. Vam Rabbi Lazar kol adam sheish bo de'ak ilu nivne beit midash miyamav. Rabbi Lazar says that if a person has de'a, we still have not defined de'a, it is as if the Beis HaMikdash is built in his days, shezenitan vin shtei otiyot, shezenitan vin shtei otiyot, as we just saw. Rabbi Lazar said, de'a is great because it's between two names of Hashem, kikel de'ot Hashem, and Mikdash is great because it's between two names of Hashem. Hashem, Mikdash, Hashem. That's in Az Yashir, say it every day. So there's obviously a parallelism between the Beis HaMikdash and Deya. So if a person has Deya, it is as if the Mikdash was built in his days. Vam Rabbi Lazar, and Rabbi Lazar said further, Kol Adam Sheish Bo Deya, Lasof Mit Asher. If a person has Deya, he will eventually become wealthy. Shenemar uvedat chadarim yimalu. With dat, rooms will be filled. Kolhon yakar v'naim. With every precious and pleasant treasure. And Rabbi Lazar continues. Rabbi Lazar.
And this meet our share. We didn't find that is physical wealth, spiritual wealth.
Right. We're going to come back after we read all these statements about Deya. And leave you, especially the next one, which is seemingly very perplexing, and we'll leave you to ponder that over the long weekend because there won't be a shiur tomorrow. We will come back on Tuesday. Vam Rabbi Lazar kol adam she'en bo de'a asur l'rachem alav. If you are in Teaneck, we will do that. Ram Rabbi Elazar kol adam she'en bo de'a asur l'rachem alav. If a person does not have de'a, it is forbidden to have compassion for him. Shenemar ki lo am binotu al kein lo yirachamenu sehu v'yatzro lo yichunenu. It is not a nation of understanding. Therefore, its creator will not have mercy. We are obligated to emulate Hashem. Hashem does not have compassion for those who are lacking Deya. Therefore, we are forbidden to have compassion for those who are lacking Deya. So all of Mefarshim say, not all of Mefarshim, but Mefarshim say, obviously, we are not referring here to people who are mentally inferior, to people who are unable to learn, unable to understand. Okay, Be'er Sheva, for example, one of Farshim makes this obvious point. Okay. We are referring to a person who should have Deya, which we haven't defined yet, and is capable of having Deya, and doesn't exercise that capability. And Mida Keneged Mida, it is forbidden to have compassion on him. And once we know what Deya is, then we will understand the Mida Keneged Mida. If you give your bread to somebody who has no Deya, Yisurim Vayim Alav, then suffering will come upon the person who gave bread to the person who has no Deya. It is forbidden to sustain him, to give him tzedakah, to share food with him. Shneimar lachmecha yasimu mazor tachtecha ein tivuna bo. Your bread will bring suffering. There is no understanding. Ve'ein mazor ele yisurin. Mazor is yisurin. Shneimar vayar Ephraim et cholyo v'yuda et mazoro. And finally, the last statement about this, from Rabbi Elazar, Kol Adam she'im bo de'a l'sof goleh. If a person has no de'a, he will, in the end, be exiled. Shneimar l'chein gala amim ibli dat. Says, my nation was exiled without dat. So we've had... Hold on one second. First, I'm going back a second. We had one... Two, three, four, five, six, seven statements from Rabbi Elazar, six of which directly mentioned Deya. One of them did not, but was the Gemara then tied it in. We're going to have more statements from Rabbi Elazar about seemingly unrelated things, and we'll again discuss how do they relate. But these are his statements about Deya. Yes.
Going back, giving bread slash tzedakah to a person without Deya, bringing Surin, is this only applying to Jewish people?
Good question.
Homeless vet, with his leg chopped off.
Who said he doesn't have Deya? Who says a homeless vet with his leg chopped off doesn't have Deya? We haven't defined Deya. Right. However, there are Mefarshim who simply explain that all of these statements of Rabbi Elazar are talking about Goyim. The definition of a person who has no Deya is a Goy. Deya is some kind of uniquely Jewish trait. And so this Gemara is saying that it's usher to have compassion on a Goy. It's usher to give tzedakah to a Goy. Okay. However, one of the Mefarshim who understands the person without Deya as referring to Goyim is the Rambam. The Rambam explicitly paskins that one should give tzedakah to Goyim. It's not the same mitzvah of tzedakah as giving tzedakah to a Jew, but because of Darchei Shalom, okay, when you don't want that homeless vet. First of all, if he's actually a vet, we're very grateful, and because of Hakar Satov, we should. Okay, correct. They have this cardboard sign that says, "Okay," and therefore, my personal policy. Anybody standing in the corner with a little cardboard sign, I will give him a water bottle, I'll give him something he could eat or drink, I wouldn't give them money anyway because I don't know where that money's going. But that's an aside. The Rambam says that we give tzedakah to goyim because of darchei shalom, because we don't want to create hatred of Jews. Look, everybody gave me a dollar and that Jew didn't give me a dollar. So so that one is one interpretation of all of these Gemaras. That's not the one we're going to focus on. If you want to prepare the shiur yourself over the next few days, it will be based primarily on a sefer by Rav Volba called Kinyan Das, and which he discusses many aspects of Das Deya. So that is how we will go through and explain all of these Gemaras. Gemara then continues with many other statements of Rabbi Elazar that also seemingly have nothing to do with Chesed Mesim. They're in the simplest level. Since we mentioned Rabbi Elazar, so we continue with lots of statements of Rabbi Elazar, but as we go through, we'll see if we can tie them into this parak before we will eventually come back to talking about Chesed Mesim again. Have a good day.